This week on Potlatch, Reggie Jewell of Kotzebue, Margaret Opie of Barrow, and the results of the 1977 World Indian Eskimo Olympics. The Kotzebue group at the World Indian Eskimo Olympics this year took 15 medals, including one for a new event, Miss WIO 50. More about the results of the Olympics after we hear from last year's outstanding sportsman trophy award winner, Reggie Jewell from Kotzebue. I talked to Reggie this time, a casualty last year because of a broken leg on the blanket toss, and Reggie told me how he got into his event that he has dominated over the years, the high kick.
I learned it in the village of Point Hope, where all my ancestors are, or from. But it was in the late 60s, I went up there for Christmas, and I'd never, you know, played any of the games seriously, except when I was really small. And at Point Hope, during the Christmas celebration, they have two teams competing against each other, and I was picked on one of the teams. I was a teenager then. And I just kicked, and I did well. I got up to 7-4, and ever since then I've been kicking.
What is there, a special technique to it that you have to learn, or is it just instinct, or what?
I was fortunate. For me, it's mainly instinct. After I got the basic techniques down, you know, then I started working on my height, and, you know, tried to brush up on my form. For most of the guys that do it now here at the Olympics, it's a natural thing. And for a lot of other folks, you know, it probably is. It's just that they can't get the money or take the time to come on down here.
Right, is this something that the older people passed on to the younger ones, or is it just a relatively new game, an event?
No, these games have been passed down from, you know, our fathers and from their fathers and grandfathers. They've been handed down for years. No records, no official records were taken from the older folks. But I've been told that in some of the one-foot high kicks and even the two-foot high kicks, that some of the older men years ago were kicking on the two-foot high kick as high as 8 feet, and on the one-foot high kick as high as 9 feet, or pretty close to it. And so far, we haven't even reached those marks.
Do you have any personal goals for your own that you're, what you're aiming toward, any particular height?
I'd like to. It's kind of hard to say. You know, I'd like to be able in the 1 foot. I'd like to be able to get at least 8'6", and I think maybe I might be able to look at that, or look for that tomorrow if I feel up to it. The competition here is very stiff. We've got the Canadians and. They're always stiff competitors, and I think tomorrow we might just get that high.
Do you compete against yourself, or do you do better when they give you more tough opposition?
I do better under pressure. It's because I really don't take the time out to practice or anything. And when I do come down here, you know, you get under pressure, and it increases the adrenaline in your body, and you just strive for higher heights.
How do you keep in shape?
I work for Wayne's. In shape for the high kicks, well, like I say, I don't practice. It's just something that's natural. And that's the way it is with most of the guys out here.
What are some of the exercises that you use to get into, to get the muscles straightened out before you compete?
Well, one of them I find that, you know, to stretch out my legs is to use the exercises that the hurdlers, either your high hurdlers or your low hurdlers use, either getting on it, using a chair and getting your leg up there, you know, the bottom of your heel, and just bending forward and backward, and just really stretching the back of your legs, your back of your thighs, and behind your knee, and down your calves, because you come in cold and you try to kick that way, you're really liable to pull muscles.
Do you have any recommendations for younger people who may want to go in for high kick and some of the other events?
As far as recommendations, it's if they're going to start young, the first thing is always to make sure that their legs are loose and, you know, that they're adequately warmed up, because there is a good chance that they might pull a muscle and hurt themselves. And if they're going to start it, I'd sure encourage continuing it anytime they get the chance. You know, it might not be as high as they want to at first, as high as they want to go, but if they keep it up and practice and get their form down, their techniques, then eventually they'll get the height. The height will come with time. And it's a slow process, but it's one worth waiting for.
We were talking earlier about getting the schools and make the varsity sports. And what are your comments about that?
Two schools competing against each other. There's not a program for that, but there is the Youth Eskimo Olympics, which are held in Anchorage in early spring, usually around April or March. And this is where a lot of the schools from all over Alaska get together. These are students from the grades of 7 through 12. They get together and they compete in these games. They have qualifying meets at the schools, and then the winners are sent on to Anchorage, where they go as a team. And this is one step forward in that direction as far as getting inter-school competition. It's something that I'd like to see spread out, though, not just concentrated on that one game, but to have more of them leading up to the Youth Olympics.
You mentioned also the possibility of being able to teach this in the community college out in your area.
Yeah, we have an extension center up there, and I found out that if I was able to get it, or the university, we're able to get a hold of at least a minimum of 7 people interested in starting a class in, say, native games, that the University of Alaska would allow this, and I could then begin instructing some of the native games. And here, you know, you could get your younger kids involved, or even older folks, people that just, you know, are interested in it and really can't get out there at certain times to try it, you know, during Christmas or 4th of July or whatever. And that would be an excellent chance for people to get in there. And I think this is one good thing, and I hope we can work on it from there.
Reggie Jewell from Kotzebue. Reggie took second place in the 2-foot high kick, second place in the 1-foot high kick, and first place in the men's blanket toss. We hear next now music from the Athabaskan Kuchin and the Medicine Song.
I'm going to sing our song. And long time used to be, you know, and he was young, you know, and he talked about that owl song when he's young. And that time, you know, and he's a man, you know, and Shanati. I can't sing that. In the queen of the night, get it in the queen of the night. Ne ever thought it in the queen of the night, I'm
Our thanks to Folkways Records for the Athabascan Kuchin music, the medicine song that we just heard. Here are the results of the 1977 World Indian Eskimo Olympics. The race of the torch went to Harvey Brown of Barrow, who ran the four-mile course and stopped the winning streak of Peter Solomon of Fort Yukon, who had won the race of the torch four times. A special presentation was given to Solomon to commend him for that feat of winning the race of the torch for four consecutive years. The lamplighters got trophies this year, Edith Tagosiak of Barrow and Pauline Carlo of Nulato. Now for some of the events, the two-foot high kick. The first place, Camille Conwell of Kotzebue. Second place, Margaret Opie of Barrow. And third place, Lucy Jensen of Kotzebue. The two-foot high kick men's, Charles Komiak of the Northwest Territories, Toktoyaktuk, took first place. Reggie Jewell of Kotzebue, whom we heard earlier, took second place. And Joshua Okpik of Barrow took third. The Greece pole walk went for the women to Janelle Ireton of Anchorage. Camille Conwell of Kotzebue took second place, and Lucy Jensen of Kotzebue took third. For the men in the Greece pole walk, James Nagyak of Barrow, first place winner, Henry Fields of Kotzebue, second place winner, and Roger Koniak of Little Diomede Island took third place. The one-foot high kick for women, Camille Conwell of Kotzebue, first place, Elizabeth Koniurik of Barrow took second place, and Lucy Jensen of Kotzebue took third. For the men's one-foot high kick, Steve Cockney of the Northwest Territories took first place. Reggie Jewell of Kotzebue, a longtime winner of this event, took second place. And Charles Komiak of the Northwest Territories took third. The Indian dance competition went to the team from Minto this year. The Eskimo dance competition, first place to Barrow and second place to the Northwest Territories. The gentleman from Inuktitut Pass, Elijah, took third place in that event. The women's blanket toss, the winner was Ava Kowana of Kotzebue. Camille Conwell took second place, and Lucy Jensen took third place. So it's a sweep of three places for the Kotzebue contingent. The muktuk eating contest went to Roy Harding Katera of Barrow. The tug of war went to the women's team against the men. White team, the women's Eskimo team, winning as they do every year. The men's blanket toss went to Reggie Jewell of Kotzebue. Abel Tingniak of Inuvik took second place, and Jerry Woods of Fairbanks took third. For the native baby contest, the winner was Sharon Brower of Barrow. Donna Henry of Kotzebue took second place, and Olyesa Locke of Copper Center took third place. The four-man carry event was won by the gentleman from Nome, Lester Keller. The finger pull contest went to Roy Harding Katera of Barrow. And the new event, Miss Weo 50. The winner was Mary Kendi of the Northwest Territories, a Klavik, as a matter of fact. Mary Frith of Fort McPherson took second place. And Liddy Curtis of Kotzebue took third place in that contest. The arm pull, Pat Tingniak of the Northwest Territories, Inuvik, took first place, and Robert Aiken Sr. of Barrow took second place. The ear weight contest, Don Asoak of Barrow took first place, Billy Ahalik of Barrow took second place, and Louis Pawkin of St. Mary's took third place. The knuckle hop contest went to Gordon Kilbear of Barrow, who hopped for 69 feet. James Itta, also of Barrow, took second place with 58 feet, and William Day of Inuvik, Northwest Territories, went for 50 feet. The fish cutting contest was a dead heat. Rhoda Nakek of Barrow and Ida Ross of Kobuk each cut a fish, a salmon, in 56 seconds. Mary Rexford of Barter Island took third. And one more, last but not least, the Outstanding Sportsman Trophy Award this year went to Charles Komiak of the Northwest Territories, and this event this year was decided by the participants themselves who voted for the outstanding sportsman. And for the first time, this event left Alaska to the Northwest Territory. So our congratulations to our neighbors to the east.
Now, I'm going to be doing this for you folks listening at home. Hear all those laughs. Isn't that great? You know why they're laughing. What I'm using here is my ukulele, which was the first thing I ever owned, and a little baby bottle I used to carry around with me at that time. And see if I can get it on for you here. I remember you have to stamp your foot first. I want to remember. Okay. I feel so bad. Lord, have mercy. Tell the truth now. How you call your granddaddy down on the Delta in Cleveland Lake Erie? You tell me all about it, son, okay?
Oh.
I call him a granddad. A granddad, yeah. He's still on the answer. Better call him again. That ought to do it. No, he still don't answer. What are you gonna do? Better call him again now. Yeah. That did it. Here he come now. He's so happy, too. He just sold the house. Here's a little tune he taught me. The words are his. I woke up this afternoon. I saw both cars were gone. I woke up this afternoon, Lord, Mommy. I saw both cars were gone. I felt so low down deep inside. I threw my drink across the lawn. I feel so low down deep inside. I threw my drink. What'd you do now? Tell me about it. Come on, Lucille. I threw my drink across the lawn.
That comedy from Martin Mull, satirizing ukulele music for us. Among the medal winners for the World Indian Eskimo Olympics, one of the ones we mentioned, Margaret Opie of Barrow, in the two-foot high kick. I asked Margaret how she got started in that event.
How did I learn it? I guess I've always been involved in doing all the Eskimo games back home, and I'm on a committee that sponsors them during the Christmas week, and we try out for games, and they're very interesting for me. And if they're doing any kind of Eskimo games, I'll sure go out and try. I do it mostly for fun.
How long have you been doing it?
Long time. quite a long time, over 30.
Do you train a little bit? Do you take some training exercises and do a lot of practice before you compete?
No, I don't practice or anything. I just do them when they're there. But the thing I like about doing the high kick and stuff is, like tonight, I was really... I don't know. The heat bothered me so much today. And last night, I think I was jumping better than tonight. And tonight, I felt so heavy anyway.
So poop from all the heat, huh?
I guess so, yeah.
you're also competing in the blanket toss. Did you also Did you learn blanket toss at an early age, too?
Well, that's what we do all the time at home during the Nalukatak. And like everyone else back home, we just go out and try them. And right here inside the building, that's a little different. And they don't have those block and tackle supporting the blanket. And I don't know, some of those people holding the blanket, they weren't that experienced. But I'd say if you did have good people around holding the blanket, tossing it, you'd get a better jump, continued jump. Like they call it rodeo jump when you jump more than once.
That means you land and go up again?
Right, the barrel style.
What makes a good jump?
Well, first of all, I'd say you'd have to relax and expect you're going to be up in the air, and that's about all. But I don't know. I guess you'd have to have good ankles and strong legs, I'd say.
Yeah.
When you go up in the air, you push your legs and move them very rapidly. Why do you do this?
Why do I do that? I'd say for myself, it's just, I don't know, it's just to move around, I guess, up there. But some real graceful blanket tossers, they just do it naturally, and if you'd have to go up to barrel to really see a good blanket toss performer. You know, they're really natural, the way they move their legs, their body movements, their arms and stuff.
We had a girl who broke her leg the night before we were recording this, and apparently she'd worked out quite a bit on a trampoline and thought she could handle the blanket toss, but we found out that it's quite a bit different.
Well, first of all, you could really tell she was scared. And she was trying to keep from having them toss her, and she was probably so rigid that she landed awfully wrong. That's the only thing I'd say for her. And as for the trampoline, practicing on it, the only people I know that practice on the trampoline are those boys back home that do the somersault during the blanket toss. They do quite a bit of that just to practice up on their flip.
If someone were being tossed for the first time, what would you tell that person?
Well, just stay there and land with your both feet kind of apart, and so you can kind of balance yourself. And they tell you to look straight ahead.
Don't look down?
No, they tell you, don't look down. You're going to be scared. But they'll do it according to however they feel.
How high have you gone up in a blanket toss?
Not very high. I don't know, high enough, I guess.
How far from the ceiling were you tonight?
I don't know. I was just saying to someone, I should have looked at the ceiling, and maybe I could have seen the ceiling, how close I was to it, but I didn't. I don't know. Did you watch? I didn't see myself.
I watched, but I didn't measure how far. I wasn't looking how far you were from the ceiling. What do people, when they judge blanket toss, what do they judge? Just simply how high you go or how graceful you are?
Well, I heard a lot of different stories on that. And up here, I guess they do it on the height and also on the way you land and the way you carry on a continuous tossing. And the girl that won, she did pretty good. And a couple others did all right on that. But I guess whoever is good in their home area is what you call good, you know, kind of different in each area, I'd say.
Oh, now, what makes a good blanket toss? Is it the people who do the tossing or the person being tossed?
It takes both. It's very important to the people in our area, when they jump, they want the good people surrounding the blanket, holding on. Because sometimes we see some people, like non-natives, that hold on, and the way they try to pick up the blanket at an angle, that's kind of wrong, but the way they do it, they do have the block and tackles and the ropes on there, and that helps out a bit, and it's not so hard as when they just do it here with no ropes on there. But I believe the performer on the blanket itself and the tossers, I'd say the tossers are the ones that really help out too, 50-50.
Can you explain a little bit about the Whale Festival, the Nolakatuk, and what goes on in your area and Barrow?
Well, the Whaling Festival Nolakatuk comes about after a successful whaling season. That's when the whale crews go out, and the crew that catches the whale puts out the celebration, and they cook for the feast, and they feed all day, and then share the whale meat, the frozen whale meat, and the akikak, which is the flipper, and then the maktuk. They divide those out to the people that come to the feast, and the blanket toss is up all day long from early in the morning. That's when the children play around on it, and mostly all afternoon, and then after the 6 o'clock feeding, they have the blanket toss. That's when the older people and adults jump. And then afterwards, they have the Eskimo dance, which is a really finish off ending of the grand finale of the Nolakatuk celebration. And the way they dance that is the whaling crew captain goes out and leads his crew members for the dance, and all their relatives go in and join, and then after he's out, then another crew goes out to dance. That's it.
Would you like to say anything for the folks back home listening on KBRW?
Uvana okaladigalwak upku KBRW in Fairbanks, Missilikirwak, as they potlatch don and go na okarurwak. They ma okade and ikapku irinanga.
Drum from the St. Lawrence Island Dancers and from Folkways Records. Potlatch was produced in the studio of KUAC. It's funded in part from funds from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.